Hey there, and welcome to the latest episode of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy, the podcast that helps you navigate the ever-changing landscape of mobile marketing. Hey there, and welcome to another episode of our podcast. Today we're talking about how you should be using mobile notifications to engage with attendees, speakers, vendors, or sponsors, and what you can expect from a properly executed campaign.
For sure. So welcome. I'm Hazel Fruitman.
And I'm Kim Stewart.
And it's another edition of Mobile Wallet Marketing Made Easy.
We started this podcast a couple years ago, mostly as a way for our current and prospective clients to get information at their own pace about using mobile marketing and advertising to increase revenue, boost the bottom line, and generally find success in reaching out to customers.
And we found that it's a very effective medium to share our thoughts about what's working and what's not in a way that offers everyone the chance to listen at their own pace, decide what episodes are relevant to the type of business they're running, and to get new ideas for implementation that really make businesses who are doing mobile ad campaigns get the results they are looking for with them.
The great thing about the podcast is that it's not only geared towards mobile wallet marketing, although that is the main focus. If you're running SMS or other mobile type ads, it's also a great source of ideas for your campaigns on those delivery mechanisms as well. So if you're a first-time listener or you're not entirely sure how a mobile wallet campaign specifically works, this is the part where Hazel's going to give you the two-minute rundown on what makes a mobile wallet campaign stand out from other types of mobile advertising, and it tells you how it can lead to more engagement and interactivity with your audience base. So, Hazel, go for it.
Mobile wallet campaigns are an incredibly effective marketing collateral when you set them up correctly and implement them in a way that increases engagement with customers, prospects, referrals, and so on. In a nutshell, a mobile wallet campaign consists of a mobile wallet pass that's added to individual phones. iPhones use Apple Wallet, which is native iOS application. And Android phones use any of a number of third-party apps to achieve the same goals. The pass has two sides, the front and the back. The front of the pass is like a digital calling card. It normally has the name of your product or business, perhaps a tagline or logo, and should be styled to complement your existing logo and collateral. We can include a QR code and a barcode on the front of the pass if you're interested in tracking users via the passes, although the tracking default does not contain any personal information unless we have created a customized solution for you. The front of the pass should be designed to get someone's attention, colorful maybe, or with a unique tagline or similar. It requires a very simple, clean design since most phone screens are not that big. The back of the pass is where the magic happens, as I like to call it. And this is the area of the pass where you're really going to be able to get your message out there and include some very efficient calls to action that result in quantifiable results. The structure of the mobile wallet pass means that everything on the back that is formatted in a way that the phone recognizes, like a phone number, an address, a URL, a link to iTunes or YouTube, and so on, those apps are actually launched when the user taps a link on the back of the pass. What that means in real terms is that if you're promoting your podcast, you can send your subscribers a lock screen notification and they have the ability to tap the backlinks and your podcast will start playing in the correct app, iTunes, Spreaker, Stitcher, or whatever. It also means that if you're a realtor, for instance, and you include the address of a property you're promoting, a prospective buyer can tap the address on the back of the pass, launch maps, complete with driving directions. Tap to call, tap to email, tap to launch social media apps like Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and others. These are simply handled by the wallet app, and there's no coding or formatting involved. It really couldn't be any easier. Passes can be shared through a variety of means. The most popular method is including the pass URL as a link or in a print ad as a type in request using a browser. Other ways include the share function on the pass, having someone open Apple Wallet or scan the QR code directly, or even sending the pass via iMessages or email from the phone. Last but not least, the passes include location and proximity targeting features, which means that using the geofencing and location awareness that's built into smartphone offers you the ability to send lock screen notifications based on where someone is, as well as sending them time-based, or what we like to call static messages. You've probably seen this at the airport if you're having a boarding pass in your Apple Wallet on iPhone, for instance. When you get close to the security screening checkpoint, the boarding pass automatically pops up on your lock screen, and you don't have to search for it or open the app or unlock the phone to see it. So there you have it, the 2-minute rundown on just what and how a mobile pass works, where it goes in the iPhone, and what it can do.
Cool. Now that we have that out of the way, I'm going to mention a couple of other episodes that are super good for learning the basics of the concepts we're going to talk about today. And today's topic is specifically for event planning, event management, trade shows, conferences, that type of thing. So episode number 50, which was actually our 50th episode, obviously, it goes into some really good detail about how a museum client is using iBeacons and mobile wallets to guide visitors, and this makes them not have to develop or maintain their own mobile app for the museum. As well as 50, episodes number 41 and 42 are amazing, in my opinion. They're all about mobile campaigns, why you need them, why you want them, and how much success they bring to the table when you compare businesses who use mobile to businesses who do not use mobile.
Yes, those are all great episodes in the archives. You can find the entire list of shows at dominoresearch.com/podcast. So when you get a chance, have a look through it and see what little gems are in there that you can apply to your business going forward in the new year.
Oh, you know what? We could also mention number 14. That was the original trade shows and events with mobile wallets episode. We'll recap some of that material today, but we're also going to talk about additional strategies that make sense in the context of promoting your trade show during the event as well as before and after the event.
And mobile lock screen notifications are a brilliant way to promote your next show and get ticket sales kicked off in a subtle way that brings in major results. That is for sure.
Right, so let's talk about the typical trade show. You maybe have produced or hosted events before, or maybe you're getting ready to do your first one, and so you know there's so much work involved that it gets really crazy. So the first thing you need to do is get organized and stay organized. This is a major challenge, and we certainly know that keeping everyone involved on track sometimes becomes a nightmare.
Yes, things do happen. Venues change, speaker lineups change, new keynote speakers are added, timing is reworked, and if you have gone to print with everything, it can be tough to get the word out and make sure everyone knows about the changes.
You know, I would say that is really the single biggest issue facing trade show producers and event hosts. It's, you know, the fluidity that you need to run a successful show, especially if you don't have a huge staff or group of employees to run it.
Yeah, and most shows are running on a minimum of staff at the event. They're hiring temp workers, using volunteers, or working with venue staff and security who may not have any idea of what's being changed or what's happening in the background to create a need to update attendees, vendors, sponsors, or speakers about these changes.
You know, I have to say, I think that our most successful venue hosts usually work with the most simple plan. It's the efficient way to organize. It allows for notifications to go out to folks that need to be notified on a fairly flexible schedule.
Right. So when you are still in the planning stages, hopefully before you've started selling your tickets, you'll want to determine what different folks belong to and set up your messaging to reflect the groupings. So, for instance, you have a speakers in one group, VIP attendees in another group, vendors in another group, same thing with your regular attendees, your volunteers, your employees, etc.
Right. People can be in multiple groups. I mean, this is especially important for volunteers or employees who are working the show. Now, iPhones and Android phones can contain as many mobile wallet passes as you like, and all the notifications are independent from one pass to the next. So what that means is that you can ask or tell your employees or your volunteers to download multiple passes. And, you know, if you're managing your after-hours events like parties, cocktail receptions, dinners, just whatever, with the system, then you can get an attendee to add a pass for each event that might need notifications. And this would be in addition to the main pass that you're going to use for basic show notifications.
Yeah, the most effective way to get passes installed is to issue them with the event confirmations. Set up your email confirms to include a list of passes that should be added based on the events that someone is signed up to attend.
Right. I mean, I might get an attendee pass or maybe a VIP attendee pass, say I'm coming to your show, a speaker pass, and two VIP party passes if I'm on the list for those parties. Now, I'm going to want to attend all the cool events at the show. So I'm really likely to add all these passes to my phone when I get my confirmation, especially if you tell me that I need these passes to get into these special or VIP type of events.
Right. People also want to know what's going on at the show, so they want to put these passes on their phones. I hate it when I go to an event and there's a party or something that requires another invite to get in, and there ends up being a big line because people didn't bring a piece of paper, even if it's a golden ticket or something like that. And now the door staff has to find a way to verify that they've been put on the list and get into the event. It doesn't leave a good impression with me.
I hear you on that one. I mean, I have seen lineups out into the street because a few people forgot to bring a piece of paper. You know, it's a bad start to what should be a good party in my mind.
Yes, I agree with you completely. There's no excuse for it, since it's so simple to mobilize these things nowadays, and pretty much no one forgets their phone. With the ability to add a QR or barcode to the front of the passes, it's also possible to keep track of who attended, what and what, so you can use the data for marketing purposes after the event, or to give your sponsors stats on how many people attended what event or what speaker presentation at the show.
Yeah, you know, we were just at a big show in Vegas a couple months ago, and 2 days before the event, they decided to send out an email telling people that they could sign up to get SMS notifications at the show. I mean, talk about late to the party.
Yeah.
It would have been so much easier to have had this taken care of at the time the tickets were purchased. And, you know, I'm also going to mention that the SMS notifications came from different phone numbers every time. So it was really kind of disconcerting, and it took a minute to grasp which notices were from the show versus all of the regular messages that, you know, everybody gets on their phones every day.
So let's lay it out in detail. I know you started to do a few minutes ago, and then as usual, we got sidetracked.
Yeah, right back to it. So you get your groups organized before you start sending out your confirmation emails. Everyone is given the link to each pass they need to add in their original confirmation email when it's fresh in their minds. Now, if they have to sign up separately for individual events, then each confirmation email would have a specific pass link in it, and you want to be very clear in telling people every time they get a confirmation email that they need to add each one of the passes. So if you're doing multiple emails to confirm, I cannot stress the importance of this.
Okay, so if there's signups for, let's say, a ladies' luncheon, is going to generate a different confirmation email than just buying a ticket for the show. Each confirmation email has the pass link in it with the instructions, preferably very simple worded instructions that mention that if you sign up for multiple things, you will need multiple passes.
Right, and every communication after the initial confirmation should also tell people that they need to put the passes into their phones. And if they haven't done it, they should go back and find the original email and do it.
So what about people that delete the emails?
Right. You know, this does happen, but I think it's better that you get someone reaching out to you to get another pass link so you can look up their registrations prior to them getting into line to pick up a badge or to get into the door of a party, and you can clear up the situation early So that saves everybody a lot of time and energy. I mean, it is so hard to try and manage everything, especially with a larger group at the time of the event. And, you know, you don't want to leave anyone out who should be in a party or in a group. That much is for sure.
Okay, so why do vendors or sponsors want to have passes in their phones?
Oh, wow. Softball question. Thanks.
Yeah, no problem.
So the simple answer to that is that you may, as the show host, need to communicate with these people separately, especially if you have to update them on policy or scheduling or some other stuff that doesn't need to be sent out to regular attendees. It's kind of the same thing with volunteers or employees.
Right. Like that one time when one of our client shows had to remove a couple of people from the event, and they used the lock screen notifications to let everyone working the show know what was going on, gave them a description and the names of the rejects, and kept the uproar to a minimum since the general attendees pool didn't know that there was even a problem.
Right. I mean, there are always going to be issues, sometimes small, sometimes big, at an event. You know, somebody's flight is late, or they missed their flight and they can't make their speaker slot, or the fire alarm goes off, you have to clear the hall and reschedule any number of speakers into other time slots or put them in other places. You know, being able to send these kind of notifications to everyone keeps the drama to a minimum.
Right. And let's not forget about the positive purpose that lock screen notifications can also have on traffic management. It is such a simple thing to send out a notification in the morning with an updated back of the pass that contains the day's schedule as a link so that people can see what's happening.
Right. And if you design your linked pages to be either mobile responsive or maybe straight up HTML5, then you can avoid having to create an app that no one really likes, you have to support, and no one uses all that much. If you preset your pages before your show starts, and every day you send a notification with the updated URL link on it first thing in the morning. You know, if you're clever, you could even include things like weather for the day if you're hosting a show that's not attached to the hotel. People always appreciate you letting them know they should bring a sweater or, you know, an umbrella or something.
Or a portable fan if it's in July in Vegas.
You know, personally, I like the smart show hosts who got the sponsors for the weather report. Yeah. I mean, you know, nothing says you care like today's weather brought to you by sponsor A, if you happen to be sponsor A.
Right. I mean, it's pretty easy to upsell sponsors on a package that includes mobile lock screen notifications. And that's before you even talk to them about the pre-show and post-show marketing strategies.
Pre-show marketing includes sending out a reasonable number of lock screen notifications. Maybe it's to add a new keynote speaker or, you know, a change in policy by the venue or, you know, in the case of some of our cannabis industry customers, a lot of them send out gentle reminders prior to the event that the venue does not allow THC products on the premise and they should not bring it with them. And since those links are all changeable, it's really easy to schedule a series of notifications based on what you expect to happen in a perfect world. And then it's also pretty simple to make changes on based on what's happening in the real world.
Yeah, normally we have someone on site at client shows to help manage the notifications and make sure that things are running smoothly on our end. It's part of the service that we provide. So we are touching base with you multiple times daily, even if it's just sending a quick message to make sure you are operating on the expected schedule. We try to be proactive to help you have a successful event.
Right. You know, I would also suggest a couple of midday notifications as well. If you're serving lunch, that's a great time to send an update. And, you know, if it's only the VIPs that are getting lunch, well, then the VIP pass on their phone shows that they're VIPs, and your lunch monitor can easily glance at their phone and know that they are supposed to be getting a lunch included with their pass. You know, color coding the passes makes this incredibly easy, and it also keeps the badges from getting super cluttered.
And it also means that you can keep the grumbling to a minimum. If someone has a lower level pass, they might not know all the upgrades that a VIP is getting, especially if they didn't sell VIP, but use them to reward good clients or special guests. You can advise the employees or staff about what the color coding means.
Right. You know, I used to put together an event where everyone got a VIP badge. And so, you know, it made everybody feel special. The first couple years at that event, all the tickets were equal. But eventually we started doing some special appreciation events for a more select group of people, which was sponsors and their guests. So the first year that we switched the badges and didn't put a VIP designation on everyone, you should have heard the complaining from the previous attendees who felt like they had been downgraded with no notice, or they didn't get a chance to score a VIP badge. You know, again, it was one of those drama scenes that we like to avoid.
Right. I remember that show. You're right. It was some drama, but the sponsors and vendors are the ones spending big money to be there. And it's always important to accommodate their needs if you want them to keep spending that big money.
Right. So that kind of brings up post-show marketing. If you send an email after the show is over, people might read it, they might skim it, but if you send out a lock screen notification after the show, everybody tends to see them, even if they don't take action on them immediately.
It's a great way to start reminding everyone of your next event, or to push your sponsor's messages out to attendees after they've gotten back home and had time to process the contacts and other material from the event. Nothing says remember me like a lock screen message. And then you change the links on the linked page's content, and it's a gift that just keeps on giving.
Right. And it's also perfect when you are starting to sell sponsorships or getting ready to sell tickets to your next event. To be able to show potential sponsors how much more than just signage and a booth they're going to get from working with you versus other industry shows that don't do a good job with mobile, this is a great way to get your sponsors to re-up, or for the ones who didn't get on board with mobile upsells, now you've got something to show them that demonstrates what they were missing.
Right. Screenshots of the mobile notifications are a great marketing tool when you add them to the sponsor package descriptions. We can provide you with the screenshots if you let us know in advance that you want a copy.
Right, and last but not least, let's talk about the geofencing and iBeacon aspects of the notifications. These things are so simple to set up. They automatically pop up notifications when someone is either close to a GPS point, if we're using geofencing, or when they're in range of an iBeacon on the show floor or a similar location.
Right, I thought those guys that had us do the location notifications for their party had a fabulous implementation.
Oh, you mean those guys that had us geofence the casino entrances so that you knew where to go to get to the private elevator based on the entrance where you were coming in? Yeah. And then they had the iBeacons down the hall on both sides as you were trying to find the elevator?
Yeah, that's the one. It was a lovely party, but it was like a treasure hunt trying to figure out where to go. That really made it easy using iBeacons.
You know, I also thought that when we added the iBeacon to welcome everyone to the party, and then we cut the signal off half an hour after the party started, was a pretty cool idea. That way, everybody didn't keep getting the same message repeatedly.
Yes, that was clever. I can't believe they thought of that instead of us thinking of it. Although we're going to suggest it in the future.
Absolutely. Wow, so I think we've covered it all in this episode. Setting up groups, when to add the pass links, how to manage the notifications, geofencing, iBeacons, pre-show, post-show marketing aspects. Is there anything else you can think of that we've missed?
No, I think that covers it. So I guess we're out of here at this time.
Yeah, see you later on the next episode of the podcast.
And if you have any questions, feel free to contact us. You can find us at dominoresearch.com, mobilewalletmarketer.com, or cannabiswallet.net. Till next time.